Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, which you hear every week. I tell you who I am. But for those who are just listening for the first time, you'll know. Just look up Natalie on the internet and you'll find me. But anyways, I have a beautiful guest today. Her looks and things that she's done, not personality, just the things that she's done and what she's about. But first I want to talk to you a little bit about MysticLivingToday.com. The November issue went up today. It's a big one. I didn't realize how big it was, except that I had a few people sending me things today, and I had to put them in real quick. But I don't mind doing that because I love it. That means people love what I do. I love what they do. So it's really, really great. It makes me feel good. I sit in my chair when I do this, put my headphones on, look at my monitors, and I'm just like in another world because I read everything that I put in. And, you know, the links and all that kind of stuff. So thank you to everybody. And that's up. If you care to submit for December, you can do that at any time and just email me at StarsCast, S-T-A-R-Z like in zebra, C-A-S-T like in Tom, at MysticLivingToday.com. And if you want to submit something rather than just, you know, write to me, you can. I need an image. I need the article, excerpt, poetry. I mean, I take mostly everything. I've never refused anybody yet, never. But I've been blessed, though, because the people that contact me are, well, they're like us. I mean, they're like all like us. You know, they're not out there in the left field or right field, and they're all about humanity and spiritual. And, it doesn't have to be a spiritual article. It can be anything that's good. You know, I mean, like I said, I've never refused anybody. And the magazine will be 25 years old in January, so it's going to be a new launch of my flip magazine. And I'll be having, you know, half-page ads, quarter ads, cover. It's going to be really gorgeous. I'm really, really excited. I have help to do it. You know, I mean, I do all the article stuff, and she'll put it in, and we'll go back and forth, and she's just top drawer. Her name is Amber, and she does a lot of work for me. I also have another gal named Judy, but Amber is going to be helping or mostly putting together the new Flip E-Zine. There's not that many online, but I thought for the 25th year, and I was thinking just a little bit ago, how did this – I know how it began, but look at the time. How does time go by so fast? I don't know. It's still as fresh as ever, and I still love doing it. So that's perfect, just perfect. But anyways, you can send me anything you like that's in good taste. Poetry, I have a lot of poetry this time. It's just a really big issue, so go look at it, MysticLivingToday.com. Now, the other site I have, of course, is Stars with a Z, Psychics.com. That's the one with all of my advisors on, and it's going to be undergoing a major change. The design will be different. I'm adding telephone readings. I'm adding video. It takes time to do it, but it'll be worth it. I've got like 30 advisors that want to come work with me. I asked the gal, and she works for me right now, and she said, because they've heard about you and they know how nice you are. And I am. I don't mean to toot my horn, but I am. I love what I do, and I love people. And so that's enough about that. Anyways, we're going to have new changes there and specials. The rates are going to drop. For the time being, you know, everything is always a limited time. I learned that in retail in the 12th grade, the teacher said, now look, she says, if you're going to do a special, you can do a special, but you never drop the existing rates because you can't go back up. And that is so true. So that's always in my head. When my webmaster puts it up, I just put, for a limited time only, or, you know, you have to have something like that because you have to kind of adjust rates all the time. So that's good. But right now, let's try. I'm going to bring in my guest. She's so upbeat. I could tell. I only talked to her for a few minutes, kind of like talking to myself. Everybody says that I have so much energy. Well, yeah, I do. I think because I just love what I do. But anyways, this lady is a philanthropist. She's an author. She just had her book out not too long ago. I have to get back down here to this little thing that I have here about her. I have her website, and we'll talk about that. But her book came out in February of this year. And, you know, it's called Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy and Community in Every Stage of Life. You know, it's really strange when I get guests to come on. They always come on at the right moment in time. It's divine order, of course. But for what's going on in the world and what this lady does, she's a village and child care advocate. Well, look outside. Look on your television, you'll see how perfect this lady and all she is and what she's doing. So let me bring in my guest. Her name is Florence Ann Romano. How are you, Florence? You okay today?
Oh my gosh, Natalie, aren't you just such a light? I'm so happy to be here with you and to be with you all.
Well, that's great. Well, I don't know if I'm a light. Well, I am a light. I do love and light. That's what I've always done. And but anyways, I want to know how you began, because a lot of people are out there that are going to listen, or they're listening now, will say, well, but how did she get started doing this? I mean, you know, you've been on a lot of networks, and what you're doing right now, how did this begin for you?
Well, really, it began back in my days as a nanny. I was a nanny for over 15 years, and I loved it. It was one of the best experiences of my life, and it gave me an opportunity to really see human behavior, see the dynamics of families and interactions and chemistry and you know, negotiations and compromise, the whole thing. I got to see a lot inside those homes. And several years ago now, I wrote a children's book, Nanny and Me, that taught children what happened when you have a nanny in your life, a caretaker. What happens when you transition from your parents to taking care of you or going to a daycare having a nanny in your home? And at the time, the statistic was over 65% of families in America had a nanny or a caretaker. And I thought, gosh, this is part of our culture. This isn't a trend. And we really need to pay attention to this, that other people are helping us raise our children. And I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it can be a very powerful thing, but it has to be addressed correctly. And so I got the chance to do a lot of media regarding child care in the millennium. And after I retired from being a nanny, which was the same time I wrote the book, I had started a digital content company and was running that and doing my media. And then COVID hit. And I started hearing people talk all the time about the village, it takes a village. Well, where is the village? Is there a phone number to call? Is there a roadmap for this village? What is this village?
What in the world is this village?
Right? What is it? And so, you know, during COVID, I really felt like on a global level, we all knew what it felt like to lose our support systems. And how often, Natalie, can you say that we know what it's like to lose our support systems? That's a very rare thing. And so as I, you know, was kind of, you know, taking the temperature of society at that time, I thought, you know what, it's time to answer that question about where the village is. And I thought, you know, that proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, it seems a little limiting, because what if you don't have children? Does that mean you don't deserve a village? Does that mean you don't deserve to find your people? Well, of course Of course you deserve to find your people. So when I wrote my book, Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy and Community in Every Stage of Life, I established 6 archetypes of villagers, 6 people that you identify with. Who am I of these 6 people in other people's villages? And who do I need of these 6 in mine? And the book reads like a roadmap to be answering the question, you know, where is the village? And how do I find it for myself, no matter whether or not I have children, no matter what I was born into in terms of my family, that you have the choice. You have and can feel empowered by the fact that you can create and find those people for yourself.
Well, it's true, but, you know, especially this is so important right now. And when, you know, COVID changed a lot of things, I know right away online, although my business for my stars was, it was holding on. It was doing so well. But then after people started recovering and going back to work, things changed. And, of course, the world is topsy-turvy right now. I mean, I'm not very happy with it, and yet we can't blame anybody. We really can't. I think there's a turnover all the time in the world. I think every so many years something happens, and okay, here we go, you know. But I think children are so important. They really are. I mean, I look back at my granddaughter, who's 19 now. And I said to my son a couple of days ago, I said, you know, I want to go back. He said, where do you want to go back to? I said, I want to go back to when she was like 3 or 4 years old. Of course, it means that I'm getting older. But it's children. It's all about the children. And What's going on in the world with the children is horrific. And so let's begin here. What are the 6 roles commonly found in villages? I have questions, of course.
The 6 roles that I created, the 6 archetypes that you're referring to, are accepting, dependable, cheerleader, communicator, organizer, and healer. And I know I said that fast, and for everyone listening, I say it fast for a reason, because what I think happens naturally for people is, as I start saying those words to you, it's just natural human behavior for you to start thinking in your mind, oh, that person probably fits that role, or that person probably fits that role, just from context clues, right? And so that's the point. That's where we start, is starting to figure out, well, kind of, for lack of a better term, where's the low-hanging fruit? Like, what do we currently have in our little, you know, ecosystems of our life?
Uh-huh.
And then as I give definitions to these, as we talk more about it, you'll start to be more specific.
And, you know, when you were saying those, I was thinking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't apply to each one of them. Maybe, I don't know, but I really don't think so. Organizer, yeah. What's the other one? Organizer, tell me again, and I'll tell you if I am or not. I don't know.
This is a really good time to probably give a definition to it. So accepting, that's the first one that I say that's probably the most important for you to establish, and that's the non-judgmental one, like the first person that you would go to confide in about a problem or confess a secret to. So would you say that's you?
And it's also accepting others, but yes, that is me. That is me.
Okay.
That's me.
Wonderful.
Okay, so I got to start there.
You got to start there. But you know what? Not everybody needs to fit into these 6. You know, sometimes, and that's an important point too, you may be all 6 of these at one time in your life, and then maybe at another season of your life, you're going to be 3 of the 6. And there's no wrong answer. You know, and that's the way life is, depending on what you have going on in your life. And maybe there's one of these villagers that you think, you know what, I could be doing more of that. I'm going to work on that this year, and that's what I'm going to really lean into. So, you know, just that little caveat there to everyone listening. So the second one, dependable. This is the person I say is like your emergency contact, someone that's actually going to answer the phone, even though I don't know if anyone does that anymore except for me. Are you the dependable one that you know that someone can go to if they are stuck in a ditch somewhere, they need something, you are their person?
I am,
without a doubt. Okay, so there you go. Cheerleader is the third. So this is the one who inspires.
The one, like, perhaps they're making a life change, though. This can be a person that's with you during a moment of transition, not just a yeah person. You know, this is someone who's going to be next to you through that. And so you say yes, cheerleader to that. Then communicators, number four. This person has your best interest in mind. They're curious and even-tempered, capable of seeing other perspectives. They don't turn up the heat on the stove. They put a lid on it. Would you say you're the communicator?
Yeah, and, you know, back to the cheerleader, I tend to, because a lot of times when somebody's doing something, I don't have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends, all the people all over the world, but I mean in my realm right away all the time, every day or every other day or whatever, there's not a whole bunch of them. But if somebody has something brand new going on, I mean, I'm right there for them. I want to let everybody know what they're doing, and I cheer for them, and that's what you do oftentimes, is you cheer for people because you want them to succeed. Yeah, communicator, yes, of course I am. Look what I do.
Yeah, look what you do, exactly. Then organizer, this is the person you can delegate to and who gives you the peace of mind to be able to release that control. Think of decluttering both your home and your mind.
I do it a lot. I do it a lot with my online work. I'm really not the organizer. I have really one girlfriend, and then I have my family. I have my daughter-in-law, my son, and my granddaughter. I have a goddaughter, but she's far away from me. So I wouldn't say it would apply. It applies more to me in the work field.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm able
fine.
To.
You know, again.
Yeah, because it's a expansive word. I mean, you can be an organizer in anything. At home, for myself, no. No. But for everybody else, yes. And I think part of it is what you put the importance on for your life. Like for me, I always put myself in a category. I'm like a slob. I'm not really a slob, but you know what I'm saying? I don't. It's not so much about me, how I look, how I dress. It's just what I am. That's the most important thing to me. And that, again, goes with, you know, you can look at somebody and not even know that they're a billionaire. That doesn't matter. It's not going to matter to me. And it shouldn't matter how I am. But organizer I am. Oh, yeah, I let go of stuff. And I mean, it comes back and they'll say, Natalie, does this look good to you? Do you want to improve it? But I let them run with it. Yeah, I do that. Oh, yeah.
And I think, again, there's, you know, lots of different variations of that, certainly, you know, being an organizer in your life, and that's a broad definition. But I appreciate how you're applying it to different facets. And then the last one is healer. So this is the one who walks next to you through it, whatever the it is in life. But an important disclaimer to this is it's not a person that is there to fix you or the situation. This is your consciously compassionate, true north star in your life. And yes, they do make you feel better. But it's very dangerous, I think, in life for us to ever look at a person and think they're going to be the answer. They're going to fix me. They're going to fix it. It's much more important that we have someone that's standing next to us and walking through it with us so we don't feel alone.
Right. I really don't have anybody like that. I don't. I don't. And I don't, maybe because everybody feels that I can do it anyhow myself. I don't, you know, I'm a self-starter but to have somebody stand with me, I watch people closely, and I have one really nice girlfriend. My best friend passed away, but she's not too far, but she does things for me or with me, but I still don't know. I don't know. I guess she would walk with me, I suppose. You know, it's so difficult. It's so difficult. But I'm most of these things, I really am. I'm lucky.
Yes, you are very lucky. You're very lucky to be those things, and you're very lucky to have those things. And I want to touch on the healer for a moment, because you revealed something very honest. You know, about your life right now, that you feel like maybe that's the person that's missing. That's a role that's missing.
And oh, it is, yeah.
I always tell, right? And I always tell people that what's interesting about this work that you do, because this is inward work that you're doing on yourself in order to get where you want to go, in order to get this village, you are going to have to be very honest and vulnerable with yourself. But sometimes you look at, again, your ecosystem, your life right now and the people that are in it. And based on those definitions that I gave you of those six archetypes, perhaps you have people that are sitting in the wrong seats. Maybe you've cast people into these roles in your life where they should not be sitting, that they're not actually, you're not playing to their strengths. Perhaps you're asking someone in your life to be your healer, but that's not their skill set. They're really much more the dependable one. And that's an important note about how we cast people in our lives, like a movie or a play. That's really what we do. Are you
right.
setting them up for success? Or are you feeling like everyone's failing you? Well, do you need to look at how you have cast the people in your life in order to actually find out whether or not you're being supported appropriately, and then looking at yourself? Am I supporting people appropriately? Am I set up for success in those villages that I'm a part of? So these, again, you know, these are deep questions.
And you know, I'm thinking, too, is they don't really have to be people who you see on a regular basis. I have people online that, like the one gal that's doing so much for me. I mean, yeah, I pay her, but there's just something about her. She's always uplifting. She's always, you know, it's not easy what I do. I have a lot of things going at one time. Sometimes I say I need a job, and then I think, well, where would you have time for it? But it does. It's really like my one site. It's really difficult. I had some difficulties there. And what does she do? I guess she's probably within that. It's not the lady that I see. It's not her. But I think she, you know, I'll say, oh, gosh, you know, this is going on, or what's going on, or why can't we do this, or why can't this go on? And right away, she comes up with something. We talk on WhatsApp, and she's in the UK, and she'll talk to me, and then she ignites something in me. And I don't even know if it's what she says or what, but it gives me this enthusiasm, because it's real difficult when you do what I do to stay up high, because people disappoint you, for one thing, but you can't. But then I have this real connection with God. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. And
yes.
So I just
yes.
have a, I
mm-hmm.
have a little chat with him every morning. You know, like when things were going, and I say this on every show, when things were going really bad with the one site that I didn't even know if I was going to could continue, because I need the money to come in, right? And for 2 weeks I had nothing but, oh, this is happening, and then I'm trying to finish off my trademark for the name and for my tarot cards, and all this was coming up, and it was a mess. And, you know, I sat down and I had a little chat with God, and I said, look, you know, I have been of service all my life. I've saved people's lives. I've done all these things. Now, I just need a little help. I don't need you to do it for me. Just open the door. I will go through. And if it's to be done, I'll do it. You know I'll do it. There's no doubt. I'll be right there by your side. I'll do it. And so, but sometimes I just disappoint myself, because I expect everybody to be like me. But you know, Florence, they're really not. And they're not like you either.
Right.
You know, there are people who just slide by. And you talk to them about, you know, I end the show with a phrase, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Well, they think I'm nuts. Well, really? No, I'm not nuts.
Right.
I've seen things. I've had things happen to me, and I know it's real. So you got to remember, people are not like you, and they're not like me. And some people, somebody told me once, it's the level of your life. It's where you are. There are people who are of service, and there are people who expect service. And that's true.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point. There are people that expect service. And
yeah, like, yeah, they expect you to do it, you know. But this one gal, when I just always know, and she's got all these ideas, and She was with me before, but when things start, I said, I don't know how long I can't afford this on my own. It has to keep making money. It just has to. And then last week, another door opened for all of these advisors that have heard of me. They've known of me. And they're on all these sites. I mean, there's thousands of them. And she told me, she says, they all know about you. Just get the phones and the video going, and you'll be golden. I said, well, you have to understand something. It's not me who wants to be golden. I want all of you to be golden. I'm just, it'll be good for me. I mean, I've accomplished something that I've always wanted to do, and that's to make every single person busy, making some decent money, and we don't rip people off. And she said, well, that's why they love you. She said, they really love you, and they don't even know you. I said, well, you know, that makes me feel good. That's a lot of people. And so that was one phase, and so I told my gal, and I said, and she said, well, how did this happen? I said, well, you know, I have chats with God every day, and sometimes it's like more like a dissertation. I'm not real happy. And like,
sure,
what's going on in the world, you know, I'll talk about that. And I'll say, well, no, what do you call all of this going on? We need to get a grip on this. This is wrong. All of this is wrong. And I know what's right, and I know what's wrong. But that's what she told me. But she sparks me. She makes me go deep. You know, she's the one. It's her. It's not anybody else. Nobody else. Now, I have a son who is very similar to me. I can depend upon him, and he's the only one in my realm. You know, I mean, she's in the UK. I can't. If she was around, yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Him.
Right.
And the reason is because he's so similar to me, and he's so giving, and we do it to a fault. You probably do it also. But you have to say, well, okay, you know, I can help you with that. I can do that. No, you don't have to pay me. But if you look around and see what's coming back to you, I have great health today. I have great, great health for my age, and I look good. And I always say to my son, you see, it comes back to you in a way. Maybe you didn't give it out that way, but you're going to get it back in a different way. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a dependable one. He does a couple of different jobs. He drives two limos. He's got a limo service, and oh my God, he's so good. He drove Marie Osborne over the weekend.
Oh,
and he met Bette Midler. I mean, he's just into all of that, but he's so kind and so, but he gives it to me. I'm just the mom, you know? He's just wonderful. He really, really is. So that, he's dependable.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you know,
so
what?
I hope everybody has.
You're mentioning an important thing, which, you know, when we're doing this work, this village building, you know, we're looking at family, we're looking at friends, you know, we're looking at the people who play enormous parts of are in enormous parts of our lives. I talk about in the book the idea of primary versus secondary villages. And what you're referring to in terms of your son, that would be considered your primary village. Your son is in that primary village. And a secondary village, it could be your barista that you see every morning, that you have more of a relationship than other people in your life because they give you that caffeine fix every morning and you know about their kids and their lives, and I think it's so cute how those relationships can be really important. But secondary villages also come during different times in your life, different seasons of your life. So, for example, perhaps in your community, you've heard of a family that has fallen on hard times or they've had a death in the family. And there's a meal train that's been established, and you're going to be a part of that meal train. Or you have a neighbor that, you know, is going through the sudden loss of a spouse, and, you know, you're going to keep checking on them for a while, you know, inviting them to things, you know, maybe dropping some food at their house or asking if she wants to go get her nails done, something like that. And maybe you're going to be that cushion for a bit, that airbag for a bit for that person. And eventually that person gets back on their feet and life just kind of takes over into that natural rhythm and you're not as present anymore. That's
right.
Okay. It's okay that you're not always going to be in someone's life at the same intensity that you came in forever. Sometimes it is just for a season. It's just for a reason, but it doesn't devalue your place in that person's life or devalue the role you played in that person's life during that time.
Yeah, I can think of like my neighbor, because I lost my husband 12 years ago. He had Alzheimer's. It wasn't the nice kind. I kept him home, so my life was in his hands, literally. He really tried to hurt me. But I had a neighbor. She was working in the beginning, but then she stopped working. She was right next door, and she was really kind. She'd send over little brownies that she'd make. I mean, I don't eat a lot of stuff like that, but she would do things like that. But then, all of a sudden, she changed. She pulled herself away, and it bothered me, but, you know, that's the way life is. Sometimes people are in your life, and then to serve a purpose, to help, and then they're gone. Well, she moved away like 2.5 years ago. I have yet to hear from her.
Well,
there was issues going on over there. But besides that, she was the one that I can think of that, you know, everybody was working in my neighborhood. Nobody was home. Nobody could help. I would go to it was awful. But anyways, even my daughter-in-law worked, my son worked, my granddaughter was little. We didn't keep her around him too much, as much as we could, if he was okay, if he was having a good day. But it's strange how your life really switches. It's like a light. It's this mm-hmm. way, and then all of a sudden it's this way. So it's been 12 years, but I still have problems with it because of what happened to me. But that's life,
right.
You know. But you do have people that come and go that help.
Right.
Other than that, I really don't know my neighbors that well.
And you know what, that's okay. You know, I'm just using one example about neighbors. You know, there can be secondary villages in a lot of different ways, and it's not just necessarily in your vicinity. But something also I think that you're touching on that's very important is, you know, you're isolating different times in your life and revealing to me how you felt about
mm-hmm.
how people showed up for you or how they didn't, or when you felt disappointed by the fallout, perhaps, with someone or the distance. And I have a chapter in my book that is about when the village burns down or when the village is lost. Right? And sometimes you burn your own village down. Natalie, I'm going to say that. Sometimes people do sabotage their own villages, and they burn it down themselves, and then they have to rebuild it. And one thing I'm sure you talk about a lot, maybe on the show and with different guests, is the idea of forgiveness. Because people always ask me, right? You know, what happens when you have burned a bridge or you have had a falling out with a friendship and you regret it and you want to try to repair it? And I always quote, my favorite quote about forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could be any different. And
That's exactly it.
If you believe that, you know, if you believe that you can't change the past and that's how you're going to move forward, then great. But it's going to depend on that person you're looking to rebuild with. Sometimes that person may not be willing to go there with you. It might just, the hurt might be too much or whatever it is. It depends on how much water is under that bridge. But certainly things can be repaired. They can if both parties want it. And sometimes it's going to take more than one attempt on your part to be able to do that. So, this idea, right? You know, so, I mean, do you feel like you've experienced that in your life, Natalie, with forgiveness and having to rebuild?
Well, I don't really have to do that. And I was thinking of this other person that I went to kindergarten with her all through school. And she got upset about something. It's a long story. I mean, I didn't do anything. She just didn't know the whole story. And she hasn't talked to me since, and it's really a shame because I've known her since 2016. She hasn't talked to me.
Wow.
She was just a friend that I had that we were in, you know, Girl Scouts. I mean, I was in kindergarten with her. But it was her interpretation of what happened, and it was totally wrong. And she should have let me explain, and then she would have kicked herself. She would feel horrible. So I really try not to think about that. I can't do anything about that. I'm not gonna step forward, and I'm not gonna go back. I can't. Sometimes people just have this way about them, and you could do cartwheels on their lawn, and it wouldn't really matter how you explain something to them. It's at mm-hmm. that moment in time, mm-hmm. you know, and that's sad in a way. It's sad. I'm trying to think what the other one was. Not really. She was the one, but she was the one that just totally missed. And then the one, my neighbor next door, I think to myself, well, what if she were to call you sometime? I would talk to her. How are you? And all that. But she decided to cut things off. And, mm-hmm. We saw each other just before she moved. I said, give me a call when you get there, or sometime when you're settled, you know, give me your new number. Okay, I will. Never heard from her.
Wow.
So yeah. And I knew her 20 years. She lived next door to me for 20 years. But things mm-hmm. like that happen sometimes. It bothered me. And then I thought, you know, things are going so nice, and I have other people that have stepped in. Maybe they're not next door. Maybe I can't see them. But they're just as much important to me. They make me they fill all that in. And but you make me think about things. And my goddaughter, this was her mother that passed away. She was my best friend, and she texts me every single day. Every
wow.
day.
Wow. Yeah.
She's in Denver. I'm in South Carolina. She. But you see, the friend, the childhood friend, that's the reason why she got mad at me, is because I didn't call her when I went to the funeral, and I was only there for 36 hours to hold my friend when she died. But I never right. got to explain that to my childhood friend. She has no idea. So and it's wrong. It's so silly. She'd hate herself if she knew. I got mad about what? Because I didn't call
right.
her. I didn't go see her. But I was there specifically and to hold – I held her when she died. She waited
wow.
for me.
Oh,
she,
my goodness.
My son was
with me.
He was holding me. I was holding her. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And it was from that moment on that my goddaughter – we had this bond before it, but before my girlfriend passed, she said, I'm not going to worry about – her name is Heather. I'm not going to worry about Heather. I said, why? She said, because she'll always have you.
Mm-hmm.
That was the greatest. Mm-hmm. That was the greatest thing somebody could tell me. And
right.
and she has not missed a beat. Oh, sometimes she'll go out and party or something, you know. And it'll be like 1 o'clock. I'll get this little text with a heart or something, you know.
Yeah.
But
right.
But
yeah.
So you see. You know, it's and you have to look at what's around you. Don't look. I can't look back because it's. I can't change any of that, and it would be an awful lot of effort to change it and to make it right. To make
right.
it right for what? Now, I'm not.
Right.
I can't see either one of them, so I'm not gonna. But I was. It was a big mistake what my childhood friend did. She assumed, without.
She assumed, right.
And she didn't
mm-hmm.
talk to me. And she,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, so that's something, you know, sometimes you can't build that bridge again, you know.
No, you bring up a really important point, too, though, Natalie, about communication. And
yeah.
a lot of what we're, you know, talking about here, too, with this village building takes you talking to people, takes you advocating for yourself, takes you maybe to an uncomfortable place. It's going to stretch you a bit in terms of communication or putting yourself out there, whatever it is. But I know you'll probably agree. I so often find in life that so many things that go awry, so many things that go left or you know, get twisted are because
right.
communication was the issue.
Yeah, it was
you know,
it.
If
exactly.
Right. If you could just lead with that, if you could just say how you feel, and you could say how you feel without saying it mean. I always say what you mean without saying it mean. You know, if you could just communicate effectively, so much of what makes life hard would be eliminated. But not everybody is built with that language or built with that maybe emotional maturity or that emotional evolution, perhaps. You know, it doesn't come naturally to everyone. Sometimes we need to learn that language, and we have to be aware enough to know that we want to learn it or that it's something we need to work on. But again, that self-actualization or that self-awareness, that's also part of the problem, communication and self-awareness. You know, a lot, if those things could be, you know, firmed up and solidified, and that would, gosh, a lot of our world would be different today in so many ways.
Oh, yeah. But the one thing I have done is and I've known her as long as this other childhood friend. We lived across the street from each other. We lost touch with each other. She was in my wedding. I found her on Facebook. She's called. We've talked to each other on the phone and laughed about when we were little girls, how we would dress up in high heels and long dresses and hats. But you see, I connected with her again, and she said to me, you know, she said, I know you tried to contact me, and I don't even know why I didn't respond. I said, mm-hmm. Well, maybe you couldn't at that time, you know, but you see how people are? But she said, you let it go for a while, and then you came back again. And she said, I kept mm-hmm. thinking to myself, I've got to talk to her. And it was her mother that really raised me, not my own mother. I did not have that great of a child. I was an only child. But it was her mother who taught me how to bake, how to knit, how to do needlepoint. It was her mother. It was her mother that set up my wedding day, not my own mother. It was her. So you see, the bond was there. And we talked about it, and she says, I remember. She said, I don't think anybody knew what you were going through. I said, I probably didn't know. I just latched onto something else. I don't know how I did it when I was a little girl. I really, really don't. I was alone a lot, and the one gal who used to do the show with me, who passed away, everybody leaves me, but she told me, she said, you know, listening to you, because we started talking on the phone, she said, you could really be hell on wheels, she said. You mm-hmm. missed so much in your childhood. I didn't have birthday parties. I missed so much. And she said,
oh,
but look,
God,
how you are. You're like the opposite end.
Right.
She said, so I have come to the conclusion about you that when you were home alone, she was a medium, you had angels with you. You didn't need people, Natalie. You didn't need them. You were being worked with. You were being taught all of these beautiful things that you – now look what you do, she said. Now, she has since gone probably I don't know, 4 years now, I think. I really miss mm-hmm. her. But she said, we did a show and we used to do topics. She said, Natalie's a perfect example of how when you're little, you don't have to turn out like that. I mean, she said, you could be vengeful, you could hate everything, you could want to get everybody because you didn't get these things. But she said, you're like at the other end of the world.
Right.
And she said, I figured it out. She said, that's what you are.
Right.
She said,
that's
and that I'm not like you, and there isn't anybody else on earth like you, because, she said, I really feel, and I almost died, and I had something appear on
my
back wall. Yeah, oh, yeah. But so you see, the spirituality was put into me even when I was a little girl. Of course, I didn't know what it was. I mean, I just walked around and, you know, my dad
right.
would take me to the airport on Saturday. I'd watch the planes fly. I learned so much. I want to fly. My dad taught me everything about planes. And my friend, my childhood friend, she mentioned it. She said, you'd always go off to the airport with your dad and you wouldn't stay back with us and play with our dolls. I said, but Linda, your doll wasn't real. That's what I told her.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't real.
She said,
oh my God.
I never thought of it that way. I said, well, no, of course not. All you knew is, what does she want to go to? Watch the planes? But I learned everything. I learned about the slats. I learned because my dad, that was his love. So he passed it on to me.
Right.
But But, you know, I wouldn't change anything about my childhood. I don't really resent anything. My mother was my mother. She was the oldest of 10. She took care of herself. That was it. I was an inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
But Maya,
so
the lady I told
you
about, she said, I think you were placed with your parents. She said, I don't really think you chose them. They were chosen for you because you had to be in a certain realm. But she said, you had angels and archangels around you. She said, I know it. I know because I've done enough psychology, and I know what you are. And she said, I said, well, I'm not going to change. I am not. And don't
and
you change either,
you.
Florence. No, don't
you
change
no
either.
No one should. No one should. You know, it's funny. You know, you talk about something you and I could, you know, definitely have another conversation about too. You know, that intuition that you're born with. I always feel that as we get older, you know, we're all born with it. But as you get older, it's kind of edited out of you. It's censored out of you in a lot of different ways. You stop listening
yeah.
to that intuition. And I think everyone has different intensities, perhaps, of it. But when I was younger, I used to say to my mom that I did not want the tooth fairy to come in my room to get my teeth. I'd leave my teeth downstairs. And my mom was like, that's so funny. She doesn't want anyone in her room. And I used to say to my mom, I'd look at pictures in the house, and there are pictures of maybe angels or things like that. And I would say to my mom, I need that picture out of my room. I can't have that because I see them. And so my mom, like as a child, had no idea what I was referring to. But as I got older and realized kind of there was something within me that was, you know, pulling me kind of toward, you know, a different exploration of the other side, perhaps,
yeah.
that maybe I was seeing things or hearing things or, you know, feeling energies or things like that. So to this day, my family always says, we just thought you were kind of crazy.
But you see, I didn't have that when I was little. I had to be prepared for something else, I mean, which we all mm-hmm. are. And I didn't mm-hmm. even know it until I talked to Maya. Right. Maya told me. And Maya said, there's just no doubt in my mind. And she said, almost passing, and all of that. And I love my life the way it is, even though I'm alone a lot, and I am alone. You know, you can call and talk to people, but and I have my one friend that we go to lunch maybe once a week, sometimes not. It depends on what's going on. But now, see, she got me through a difficult time when my husband first passed away because she got me out. She got me with people. She got me, I want you to come with me. Will you come with me? And I said, yeah. And, you know, my son kept saying, don't say no because she's going to stop asking you. And so she really helped me in that sense at that time. And yet I can count on her if I say something, she'll say, well, maybe I can do that and pick you. I don't have a car. Okay, not that I can't drive, I just don't have a car. And she said, maybe I can do that. Let me see what my schedule is. And she'll be there. She says, if I have to go someplace, I'm just so lucky I have this core around me. But there are some days I would like to be able to drive myself. But you're right. People come into your life, and all of a sudden they're there, and you can rely upon them. There's another gal two doors down from me now. Nobody liked her in the neighborhood. She always liked me. I always liked her. She was very nice. Well, she's come over several times. She parks her car in my drive, and we laugh. And I said, oh, it's nice to see my car sitting here finally. And we laugh about it. But I could count on her if I had to. You see? Mm-hmm. Now, my next-door neighbor, I have a police officer and a fireman on the other side. How great is
mm-hmm.
that?
That's amazing.
But, well, it is. It was planned. It was. That's the way it's supposed to be. And then there's a guy across the street that I've known. He moved in after I did here. Listen to this. This is going to make you feel good. We get bad storms here in South Carolina, the wind and the, you know, everything falls and all that. I had a bunch of stuff on my lawn, in the front lawn, and my son couldn't come and get it. Big, huge limbs came off my trees. I'm surrounded by pine trees. And one day I looked out, and there he is. He's picking up all of these limbs. And I went out, and I said, Adam, I said, what are you doing? He said, I've been waiting for somebody to come and help you, and nobody in the, and he said, I should say this loud, nobody in this neighborhood has bothered to lift a hand to help you. They know you don't have anybody here to do this. These are heavy limbs. So he said to me, next time this happens, you call me and ask me to come. I'll come right over. I'll do it. I had to sweep my drive of all the mess, and these people had blowers. That's how selfish people are. Had all these blowers.
Wow.
He said, how did you clean your drive? I said, with a broom. Oh, my God. He said, why didn't you call me? I said, because, you know, I just don't. Now I'll call him.
Right. I know.
But you see how people come in your life? Yeah, they do that. But sometimes they go away. But they're here for a time being, and it's really wonderful. And you have to recognize them. You have to recognize them.
You do. And I think, you know, how we show up for each other in life, you know, and knowing that we are worthy of it. We're deserving of people to show up for us and help us. You know, you always hear people say that the number one fear people have in life is public speaking. I always say that, I mean, that's not a problem for you or me probably, Natalie, but for a lot of people, they don't like it. But, you know, I think the second thing, and probably tied, you know, maybe tied for the first thing that people might be afraid of, is asking for help. Asking for help is very difficult. I mean, listen, I'm single. I've never been married. I don't have children. I would like to do all those things one day. It just hasn't happened yet. And I laugh because, you know, I live on my own, and I'm surrounded by wonderful neighbors. And I can't tell you that, you know, a few times I've had to call my neighbor across the street, the husband, to come help me with something that I can't lift this, I can't do that. And, you know, I hate making that phone call. I do. I hate it.
Well, no,
it, but,
see,
you know,
that's why he said to me, why didn't you call me? You have my number. Because we had they had to do the roads in the subdivision, redo them. And he knew I was gone. And he called me and he said, you know, we had asphalt put down again. And it was getting kind of like dusk. And we don't have streetlights here in South Carolina. It's not like Detroit. I lived in Detroit. That's where I was born and raised. You have streetlights everywhere. We don't have them here. So there was only one little lit at the corner. And he called and he said, are you coming home soon? And I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to walk to the corner. I'm going to walk you home. Make sure you get there. That's the guy that picked up the limbs off my...
Oh,
right.
My gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. If he was younger, he'd be a great catch, that one.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
But I had another friend, you know, that a male. I could ask the fireman. The police officer, he's not real friendly, but his wife is. But the fireman, I could ask him. I don't even really know his wife. I guess she's still there. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying, how people are? But he was mad. He said, all these people that have blowers, and they saw all of it, and they didn't bother to ask you if you need help?
Right.
I was sweeping my drive, and the other guy was kitty corner. He was using the blower on his drive. He didn't even blink.
Yeah. I mean, but that is the truth, unfortunately, about people, that some people do not think about how they can be in service of others. Some people do not think
outside. No, but that's what I do. That's what you would do it. Hey, Natalie, you need some help over there? I mean, even if you were as little as I am, it didn't matter. Oh, yeah, between the two of us, we can do it. You know what I'm saying? You would do that.
You know what, but Natalie's right. People don't, though. They don't, you know, I don't know, you know, not everybody's built the same way, right? People don't necessarily, you know, all think the same way. But I think that's one of the reasons why in life oftentimes we're so disappointed sometimes is because people don't treat us the way that we would treat them or we would treat the world.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's disheartening. It can be very hurtful and painful to actually make that realization that people don't necessarily live by the same rules you do.
No, they don't. They really, really don't. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be. Because now, you know, when I was growing up, the neighborhoods were different because I'm a lot older than you, I'm sure. Neighborhoods were different. I mean, you helped everybody. I mean, I knew all my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were kids growing up that were the same age as I was, but they're also older kids. But it was a different time. People are so self-centered. All they think about is I, me, 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 and that's the truth. And
right.
So if I can, I'll say, to inflict something on them that makes them think, you know, why didn't I do that? I would love to talk to that neighbor over and say, you know, I was struggling doing, and I'm 102 pounds, 5'2", and I'm sweeping all this garbage, big limbs and stuff, lifting them up. I would like to say to them, why didn't you offer to help me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
See?
And what do you think their answer would be?
I didn't think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't know.
I wonder that. If you called someone out, you called someone out on their behavior and say, you know, why wouldn't you help me? If you actually said that to someone, I always wonder what their response would be.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'd probably be offended. So
they could be offended. Kind of like, well, that's not my job.
Yeah. Right, exactly. They
isn't it strange? So how were they raised? Were they raised? Now, I wasn't raised like that. My father was wonderful. He was a gentle soul. My mother was known as the godmother of the insurance world. That's no joke. If I gave you an insurance job, because she was in charge, she was an adjuster, if I gave you this job, I'm going to call and ask a favor of you. She meant it.
Mm-hmm.
She meant it.
Mm-hmm.
But so you see, I was nothing like her. Now, my father, probably so. He probably did more than I even knew, you know. But isn't that strange?
You know,
it's all.
I think, yeah, right. It is. It is all. You wonder, yes, about how people are raised. And then one of my best friends, her mom, always said, growing up to her kids, if you're going to start a sentence with "I," you better be ending it with a way you're going to help somebody.
That's good. That's a good thought. That's a good way to remember.
Really,
absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that. And you know what? I think if people could abide by that philosophy more in life, again, we would live in a very different world than what their influences are. But my message to everyone out there is, you know, if you know better, then do better. You know, I mean, like if maybe you weren't raised that way, you weren't raised looking out for other people, you've learned that as you've gotten older from the people around you, the experiences you've had, you've become a different person because of that. Then then it's your job to turn it forward. It's your job to keep that ripple going then. So once you know better, then do better, then do that. And I think if we can, again, be self-actualized in that way, be self-aware in that way, that we're learning and growing and we're learning these lessons and we want to be better, we want to do more, then that is going to be the ripple effect of compassion and change in this world that we want to see.
It would be nice if we could all have a lot of those good qualities, but unfortunately we don't.
Right.
But all you and I can do, what I do, is I put forth the message of what my life has been like. Because people say, well, how are you like you are? I'll tell you how I am, why I am. You know, it's easy. It's not difficult to figure it out. But I think, too, that, you know, we have to just keep putting the message out. I want to mention your site also and your book, of course, Build Your Village, A Guide to Finding Joy and Community in Every Stage of Life. Your website is Florence, Florence, ANN.com. You have such a great message to put out. You really do. Well, you do. But you know, it's really strange, and I have to ask you this. Why did you want to be on my show? You've been on some really popular places. I'm certainly not well-known I know Angela loves me. I don't have to worry about that.
Yes, Angela does love you, but we subscribe to a lot of the same ideas. And even after the conversation today that we had, you know, it gave me a lot to think about. And I really appreciate learning, like I said, always being the student and talking to people that are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And so you gave me a lot to think about today, too, about how different seasons of life also present different challenges. You've been so open and honest with me about your personal life, which I appreciate. And I take that with me, and I hope that that can be part of my story then in helping guide people, you know, through whatever it is that they're going through. So thank you for being so vulnerable and
it'll be
and
in your next book. You're going to do another book.
There you go. There you
see
go.
That?
No, thank you.
And then you're gonna see what a beautiful person you are. You know, I don't. But people that come on my show are all. I mean, I had only one man. I've had men on my show from all over the world. A man who actually hung up on me. Because, well, he was all that he thought he was, you know, and I thought it was going well, and I thought he just got disconnected. But then I found out he hung up on me. So I told the publicist, and she told me, she said, that was uncalled for. And she says, and I'm going to tell him. I said, well, this is probably my 303rd show. I've been doing this for 10 years. I'm not a newbie at this. I know how to talk to people, and I think he was expecting more of a Q&A, so it would be about him, and he didn't like that. I've never had anybody ever say anything negative about talking to me on the radio. I love everybody. I love to have everybody on my show. I used to do two a week, and I had to stop because my magazine got so big and the other thing got so big. I mean, I run out of time. I need some time for myself, and that's another thing you have to do. Take time for yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you are a joy, and it's been wonderful talking with you, and I would love to
anytime.
Oh,
no, same here. I want to ask you, your last name, is it Italian?
It is. I am an Italian girl, Romano.
So am I.
Oh, I love it. I always like a fellow paisan. You know, you're
familiar.
You're Italian,
yes, we have to
related.
Do that. Was it your parents, both your parents, or what?
Both
your
my
father?
Parents are Italian. Yes, both my parents. Yes.
There you go. Well, you're beautiful. I looked at your site, and I was looking at this thinking, oh, my gosh, how pretty she is. Look how pretty she
is.
Oh,
my gosh. Well, ditto, right back to you. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. Thank you.
Well, you have a great life, and if you write another book or you have something else you want to talk about, you let Angela know. I'd be happy to have you on the show again.
I absolutely will.
I mean,
such
look at how the time went.
Nice
we could talk about so we could. It's like we've known each other for years, and that's what's nice about it.
I feel the same way, too. I feel the same way, and that's such a blessing in life. So, yes, absolutely.
It is. Well, you have a good rest of your day. And to everybody listening, go to FlorenceAnn.com and look at what she's doing. And she's got her book out, and it looks to be like a beautiful book. I might have to have Angela send it to me. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely. Have her send it to
me. I'll rustle her up. She's just the best. I've never talked to her on the phone yet. Some of them I do, but I haven't talked to her yet.
Have
a great evening, Natalie. You're just such a joy to work with, she said. And you're always, you answer my emails. Well, that's what I do. I answer emails.
Personally. People should know each other like you said.
That's right.
Wonderful.
That's right. Have a great day. And everybody next week, I'll be back on 1 to 2. Another great show, of course. And I'm going to leave everybody with this. And that is, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Bye-bye.